Call the meeting to order. Disclosure of pecuniary interests and general nature thereof. You can speak now or when the item arrives. Could I ask for a mover and seconder to approve the agenda, please? Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson. Any comments on the agenda? All in favor? It's carried. Mover and seconder to approve the minutes. Councillor Girard, Councillor Ferguson. Any comments on the minutes? All in favor? Carried. We have no consent reports this evening. Staff reports, roads and public works. We'll start with F1, award of contract, PW20-19, 120-20-21 single axle truck. Mr. Smith? So the recommended motion that the Committee of Whole recommend to Council to direct staff to award the contract for tender number PW20-19-120-20-21 single axle truck be awarded to Antrim Western Star in the amount of $139,668, HST not included. And go ahead, Mr. Smith.
This truck was tendered out to replace our single axle unit, truck number 22. It's for in-town services. The recommendations put forth by the operations manager stand as the report information for the report is inside it. The operations manager prepared the report. Unfortunately, he was not here today to present. I can answer some questions if you have any.
Okay, I'll start with a mover and seconder for this recommended motion. Mayor Lowry, Councillor Ferguson, questions and comments. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Yeah, good evening. I see it isn't the low tender.
The low tenders that you're speaking of were non-compliant tenders.
Okay, maybe the next time if they're non-compliant, they shouldn't be on the agenda. I don't know. Do you put non-compliant tenders on the...
Typically, if I have a construction contract, I will include the non-compliance and identify them as such.
Thank you.
Any more questions on this item? Okay. All in favor of this recommended motion? That's carried. So on to F2, award of contract PW2020-120-20-21 all-season combination dump body spreader. The recommended motion that the Committee of the Whole recommend to Council to direct staff to award the contract for tender number PW2020-120-20-21 all-season combination dump body spreader be awarded to Gincor Industries in the amount of $128,970, HST not included. Mr. Smith?
The recommendation speaks for itself. It was tendered, it came in within budget, within the approved budget as spoken to in the report, and it is consistent with the rest of the equipment that we have in our fleet.
Can I get a mover and a seconder for this recommended motion? Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes, questions and or comments? All in favor of this recommended motion? That's carried. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Yep.
Just some video streaming issues.
Okay, let me know when we're good. Okay, we had obviously a little technical glitch and we're up and going again. We're on F3, Building and Planning. Zoning Bylaw Amendment Z1420, Concession 11. W Part Lot 12 and W Part Lot 11, 191 Wabba Road. A recommended motion. Council approved the Zoning Bylaw Amendment to change the zoning on part of the lands known legally as Concession 11, W Part Lot 12, W Part and W Part Lot 11, Pakenham Ward, Municipality of Mississippi Mills, from Development D to Residential First Density R1. Maggie, go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Delgady. This application is for a zoning amendment for Z-14-20 for Concession 11, West Part Lot 12, and West Part Lot 11 for Pakenham Ward in the Municipality of Mississippi Mills. The address is also known as 191 Wabba Road, and the owners are Mervyn and Gail Downey, and the agent for the application is Xander Plan, Inc. Incorporated. Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to ask for a mover and seconder for this recommended motion. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Maiden. Comments and or questions? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I see this property is a fair chunk of land. Is there any kind of a sub-agreement or subdivision plan coming forward with these lot severances?
At this point, no. I'm not certain of the intentions of the owners. It is a fair chunk of land. This sketch actually does not incorporate the entire holding. It's actually consisting of two parcels, so the one identified as the retained lands, as well as the parcel to the south. So it's actually a larger holding than what is even depicted on this sketch here, as was confirmed with a title search. At this moment, there are no plans to further subdivide this parcel, but it is zoned for development, so we may expect in the future that there will be further subdivision on these lands.
I think if it comes back again, I'm not going to be in favor of it till he has some kind of a plan for the subdivision for the rest of the interior lands. Because so that's my only comment. Thank you.
Any more questions, comments on this item? Councillor Maiden.
I noticed this is uphill from the village of Pakenham. I think up by Five Arches, yeah. And I know Pakenham has some issues with wells, and they have shallow wells and that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering, there's no comments from Roads and Public Works, but I'm just wondering if anyone has made any comments about the impact of more wells and so forth might have on the water quality there, which is kind of
yes.
Wonky, I hear.
Oh, apologies. The consent application was originally circulated for review by the Mississippi Valley Conservation Authority. At that point, it was determined that they would be required to provide a hydrogeological evaluation demonstrating favorable groundwater quality, and an evaluation of the terrain and water quality impact risk analysis to the satisfaction of the municipality and the County of Lark, as well as MVCA, I believe. I do not think we have that yet, but I can't be certain. It would have been required as part of the consent conditions.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions? Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. Maggie and I have a number of discussions with this. One of them was found on page 25, where it identifies at the top provisional approval from the county, specifically through the two entrances off the county road. And I asked Maggie specifically again if that was going to be identified potentially as a shared driveway as opposed to two separate entrances off the Wabba Road, which, as you can see by the diagram, is virtually on a corner, or coming into a corner, or going out of a corner.
I believe they will be separate, as I don't think I've seen anything indicating that they will have shared entrances, or at least nothing that I can recall. The Wabba Road is a county road, so the County of Lanark's Roads and Public Works Department will have had to have issued an approval for the entrance permits prior to submission of the consent application. So the county will have already approved those entrances. So I'm not certain what the configuration of it will be like on Wappa Road, but I do know that the county will have already approved them as part of the consent application.
Go ahead.
And just one other one, and it's in continuation to Deputy Mayor Minnelli's question in reference to internal road networks. As you can see by the diagram, the four severances do not presently permit a lot of internal road networks without considerable construction. So I just wondered again, through Maggie, which I've spoken to her about it, at what point in time do you identify internal road systems specifically in support of four severances?
For this application, as they do have frontage along an open-end maintained road, that wasn't required. In addition, these were done via consent and not a subdivision application. So its evaluation is slightly different. When we do see a subdivision application at that time, we will look to putting in an internal road network. However, at this time, because it isn't part of a subdivision application for the greater division of this parcel into significant number of holdings, it was not required as part of this application.
Further questions? Okay. All in favor of this recommended motion? 1, 2, 3, 4. That's carried. Okay, moving on to F4, Zoning Bylaw Amendment Z1220, Concession 10, Lot 16, being Part 1 on RP27R8990, Parts 1-4, 9-12 on RP27R8445, 430 Ottawa Street. There's a lengthy recommended motion here. I won't read the entire thing. You can follow along, page 35 to 62. And I understand we will have the applicant on the phone. You can go ahead, Maggie, please.
This application is for an official plan and zoning bylaw amendment known as OPA 26 and Z-12-20 for 430 Ottawa Street, owned by 2241497 Ontario Limited. And the agent for the application is Novatech, who will be joining us for the meeting shortly. The applicant has applied to the municipality on behalf of the owner to seek relief from the highway commercial designation of the community official plan, as well as various provisions of the zoning bylaw to permit residential uses in addition to commercial uses on the subject property. Residential uses will take form of a standalone four-story apartment building and apartment dwellings on the upper stories of a non-residential building. A total of 124 units are proposed for the site with a maximum net density of 50 units per hectare. The original application and staff report had sought relief for 46 units per hectare based on a lot area of 2.47 hectares. This was later revised to acknowledge a more accurate lot area of 2.54 hectares, whereas the request for 46 units per hectare was calculated based on a net area of 2.54 4 hectares. However, there are no changes to the concept plan or the number of proposed dwelling units within the apartment dwelling. It will remain at 124 units throughout the site. However, it's just been amended in order to account for the change in lot size. No further notice was provided as the substance of the application remained the same and the revision is minor.
Okay, we'll go ahead and I'll ask for a mover and seconder for this recommended motion. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councilor Ferguson. We'll just wait a second to make sure we got this this person on the phone. Okay, we have a mover and seconder already. Questions and comments on this motion? Or did you want to speak to it some more, or just questions and comments at this point? Okay. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Yeah, I've had, there's a lot of interest in this property, but lots of calls for and against. I think it's a spot that isn't making any financially. It's not of a good spot right now, and I think if we can, if we change the zoning, it's not going to have any impact, I don't think, on our sewer and water system. We've done the study, so that's why I moved the motion. But I'm willing to hear from other councillors, sir.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Maiden.
That's interesting. I haven't heard of anyone actually writing to me in favor of this proposal. There were a lot of concerns about it, that a lot of them that I share. The height of the four-story apartment building kind of up against the backyards of the homes on Honeyburn Street, which are bungalows, was a big concern. I noticed that there were shadow studies done, and none of them were done when the shadow of the apartment building was going to fall across Honeyburn and probably right into the next street. I guess I had talked to Maggie about that, and she explained to me, she says, well, you know, they thought that people wouldn't necessarily be active at that time of day, like before noon, for example. I can assure you, having talked to a lot of the residents there, there's a fair bit of activity in the morning, and they would be missing their morning sun on their gardens and that sort of thing. It is a commercial property, and they're asking to rezone it to residential. And in some ways, I would be in favor of that, and to kind of almost making it like a little town square, kind of like Mill Street, with commercial units at the bottom, residential units on top, so that people in the area could walk to various stores and so forth, and it might be a kind of another draw for that part of Ottawa Street. But I think it really needs to have some redesign to accommodate all the neighbors, for example. The other thing was the traffic study was done, I think we saw some correspondence from November of 2019, and that was around the time that we were concerned about all the traffic problems at that intersection. And we hired crossing guards to help kids cross and so forth. And adding to the traffic congestion there is a big concern of mine. And we've already had a couple of accidents there. Like I say, we've hired crossing guards to help kids start across the street. And we've had to adjust, I think, the traffic signals there. Councillor Delgatty could probably answer that more, but I have a number of concerns, and I know I haven't had one positive response from a resident in the area.
Okay, Councillor Gerard.
Thank you. Two, through the chair, I'm not sure if Maggie is going to be able to answer this or if the developer themselves, but my understanding is that there has been many requests from many businesses to get access to the existing building, but due to the fact of the size, that it has not been feasible for people to get into that area. Is that something that's ever been discussed?
From reading the consultant's report, that is my understanding of some of the problems that the mall has had, in that there isn't enough frontage based on the size of the units. I do believe we have perhaps the representative on behalf of ELM Developments on the line. I don't know if that's the case as well. David. I had understood that David would be on the line, but I don't know if he is or not.
Hi, on the phone, can you confirm if David is on the line? Hello, on the phone? On the conference calling system, can you confirm if David is on the line?
Jen. David has called in. I will be honest, I am having a hard time hearing any questions, whether on the conference line or through the online broadcast.
She can't hear through the online. She's having a hard time hearing any questions. Can you turn off your live stream and just listen on the phone?
Thank you.
we'll make sure you can hear. I'll repeat the question if you're unable to.
Running up and down stairs. There, is that better?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you repeat the question?
I believe the question was in regards to the existing mall and the size being unfeasible for those who are interested in leasing. The size of the existing mall, and the units within are not attractive to those interested in leasing.
They're not attractive to those interested
in leasing the units.
Did you get that?
Yeah. I think
yep.
But I'm hearing more feedback now on the phone. I'm hearing my voice twice.
Are you able to answer the question?
I can try to answer the question. It's a little distracting to hear myself speak twice, but I'll give it my best. My understanding is that the question is that whether or not the, or why rather, the mall hasn't been successful in its current status. And our understanding is that the owner of the mall has tried on a number of occasions to attract different tenants to the mall, but in large part because of the configuration of the mall in terms of unit sizes and depths of the mall's units, it's been very difficult to get a tenant that is looking for that size of unit. So it's just economically, it hasn't been a successful situation where tenants have been attracted to the mall, and so it remains largely vacant over time. And so it's not out of the lack of trying, it's more that tenants aren't interested in that configuration. Does that help?
Councillor Dryden.
Actually, I was the one who asked the question, and it was actually more with regards to comments that I have received from businesses that have approached the property owner and have basically, there has been a refusal to do downsizing of any of the units.
Point of order, that's, we can't.
Just 1 second, please. Mayor Lowry.
Sorry, point of order. We can't, we don't have the right to tell a property owner who or how they lease something out. We can look at this and determine if it fits or if it doesn't fit. But we can't put into part of the conversation what they're choosing to do with the property or who they're choosing to work with. Like, I think this is outside of the scope of what this staff report is, and I, you know, look to be corrected if I'm wrong by any of the staff, but I think we need to focus on what is in front of us, not if we think or don't think that the property owners have leased properly in the past.
I think that it was actually mentioned in some of the wording that was here with regards to the size of the properties itself, and that they were going to be downsizing to a quarter of the size of the existing units. Am I correct?
I'm not certain of the units themselves. The mall itself will be smaller, about half the size of the existing mall. But I don't know about the configuration of the units within.
Okay, I thought that was some, that I guess I have to go back and read through it. My other question, I guess, through the chair to the planner, where will we come up with more commercial property if we rezone this to residential?
So just to clarify, the property isn't being rezoned to residential. It will maintain its shopping center commercial exception for C4-4 zoning, but will permit additional residential units. So an apartment building at the back, as well as potentially units at the upper levels of a commercial building. So it will be maintaining that shopping center zoning, as well as the highway commercial designation, but with added residential units. In terms of commercial space, the applicant has provided a market study that has demonstrated that there is an oversupply of commercial units within the municipality. So they may be able to speak more to that and the findings of the market study, but based on what they've provided in the market study, it has found that there is an excess of commercial units in the municipality based on what can be supported by the population, present and projected, sorry.
Okay. I guess the only thing I would say that as Councillor Maiden brought up, I believe the shadowing study possibly could have been done at a time during the regular part of the day. I don't agree with the shadowing only being done in the middle afternoon based on where the shadows are going to be happening. And I'm just wondering if that's something that the planning department has actually looked at as asking or requesting a new shadow study.
So when Councillor Holmes and Councillor Maiden brought up the concerns with the shadow study, I did request the addition of an AM time frame for projected shadows from the consultants, but they had decided that wasn't the way they want to go, and they can provide further justification for that if they wish.
I didn't hear the question. I can hear your voice clearly.
Has joined the conference.
That is the question. They're wondering if you could speak more to the shadowing projections that were done.
Right. So again, I have this annoying back sort of, I hear my voice twice, and it's very distracting, so I'll try and talk through it. But the shadowing study was done in support of the application to demonstrate that the impact of a four-story building wouldn't have a significant, if any, effect on the homes to the north side. Shadow studies are typically done at certain times of the day where people typically use their backyard space or their outdoor amenity space. And prior to undertaking this shadowing study, we had confirmed with the director of planning at the time when those studies should be done, or what time of day and time of year those studies should be done. So we took direction from the director of planning and prepared them on that basis. And those were included in our application to demonstrate that at those times, there would not be a significant effect of shadowing on neighboring homes. Not to mention, it's a four-story building, which is only marginally larger than the stories, the buildings to the north, because the grade at which that apartment building would sit at is lower. So elevation-wise, it's not significantly different, and the shadowing effect would be minimal. You can have shadowing effect at any time of day, regardless of height. Until the sun gets to a certain height in the sky, there's always going to be somewhat of a shadow. So the shadowing effect in the morning would pass very quickly as the sun rises into the horizon. Does that help with the question?
That question was from.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an answer. Yes.
Here. I can also add to the shadow study too. I'd just like to point out that it was done at three peak times of the year. In terms of where the sun is, So it was done at the summer solstice, the summer equinox, and the winter solstice.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Girard, did you, is that it?
I guess so, thank you.
Okay, further questions? Councillor Ferguson, then Councillor Holmes.
Yes, thank you. To the planner, does this application meet all our OP requirements?
Yes, generally. So what they've asked for here is to permit additional residential uses in the highway commercial zone, which right now is not permitted explicitly by our OP. So that's one of the amendments that they've requested. In addition, within our residential zones, there is a maximum density of 35 net units per net hectare for medium density residential. The applicant is requesting the increase to 50 units per net hectare based on their lot area, which while not is not a precedent, it is something that council has already approved of previously with Riverfront Block 70. So we have seen applications for four-story apartment buildings with a greater net density than what is permitted in the OP. And in this area, given the linkages that exist with the infrastructure and the proximity of park space, of commercial and other amenities, public amenities, it is appropriate, in my opinion, for this site.
Okay, thank you. One other question. I read in your impact and recommendations, and I know there's some repeats there probably, but there were 23 site plan issues that you identified. Are any of those or that could be potential showstoppers when the site plan control issues are addressed?
Generally, I would say no. So some of the items that will be looked at site plan, they tend to be a little bit more detailed than what is proposed in this concept plan. So we'll be looking at buffering options, noise reduction, pedestrian and vehicular traffic, internal patterns for those. We'd be looking at parking a little bit closer, as well as lighting and signage. There may be some that I've missed as well. They may not necessarily be showstoppers, but there is an opportunity for staff and council to request certain things in order to alleviate some of the impacts that some of the residents have concerns with, as well as the ones that councillors have concerns with.
Thank you. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. So for our planner, it looks to me there's a 77.5 feet buffer from the four-story apartment building to the back line, property line. But it looks to me also that that includes a parking lot. So my question is, how much of a buffer is there actually between the property line and the parking lot?
I believe there is a 2.5 meter setback from the edge of the closest parking spot to the rear lot line. I believe there's also, in the concept plan, it has identified that there will be some sort of vegetative buffering along it, although that would be determined at site plan as well.
Do you feel the concerns raised by the residents in the streets behind the parking or the apartment building have been adequately answered?
I think that their concerns are valid. I think some concerns may be more valid than others. Generally, I would say yes, and if not, they would be something that we would look at site plan, during site plan, to see what actually the developer is proposing. At the moment, this is just a concept plan to demonstrate that there is sufficient room on the site for their proposed commercial building, for their residential building, as well as parking and whatever amenities that they're proposing. So the concept plan can still change. Some of the finer details will have to be hammered out at site plan control, but that's what site plan control is there for. It's to hammer out those detailed design elements that may not show up on a concept plan. So the application today here is based on a concept plan that may change, but it is to approve the principle of development on the site based on that concept plan.
And how many other four-story apartment buildings do we have in Mississippi Mills?
To my knowledge, just one. Any four-story apartment building in the municipality would have to go through an official plan amendment and a zoning bylaw amendment, as our official plan only permits a maximum of three stories for residential apartments. To my knowledge, there's only just one.
I still remain concerned about the shadowing in the morning. My understanding is these apartment buildings are being built possibly for families in mind. I disagree that young children would not be out perhaps earlier than 12 o'clock. And I would really like to see some 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Shadow studies. Thank you.
Councillor Maiden.
Yeah, aside from the shadowing of the apartment buildings being so far back to the backyards of the bungalows on Honeyburn, there's an issue of privacy to me that, you know, you're going out in your backyard and there's, you know, a towering row of windows looking down into your backyard. And I think that's a legitimate concern. I would ask the developer to say, can you move these things around? Can you make it less, you know, intrusive? And I think some of the comments from residents were saying, well, you know, if it was only this high, it might be okay. It seems too far back. And, you know, frankly, I could see why the residents are complaining. That's not what they anticipated. They thought that this was going to be a commercial site that they were backing on. They accepted that. But a high residential construction, it's, you know, it's not respectful of the residents around it, aside from the traffic. And I think it's just far too dense for that particular area. And if we lose our commercial space along that particular stretch of Ottawa Street, where else are we getting it back? I mean, because we can say, well, it's going to be some commercial right now, but what if it all of a sudden later on gets all turned into residential? That's my worry.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you. Just a couple of things. If on this development, if this development was anywhere else in Elmont, the traffic would be more of a concern than it is to me right now. It's on the other side of Patterson Street. It's walking distance of the malls. And it's, if people are commuting, they're not going through Elmont to get to Ottawa. They're coming out and going right out. So I don't think traffic is, if we're going to have another subdivision in Elmont, I'd be more concerned about the traffic coming out of it than at this building. And I realize the grade, there's a grade issue there. If you look in the documents here, it's the same height as the three-story apartment building on behind Levi Home Hardware. So, and I don't think they did any morning sun issues there. And as far as privacy, I don't know. I have never been any place where development never happens. So you don't move to some place and expect no development. So that's my comments before I get in any more trouble. Thank you.
I'm going to throw in a comment here myself, and then Councillor Holmes. I did have some concerns about this project, and most of them have been spoken to. I'll jump in here. As Deputy Mayor Minnelli mentioned, traffic, and that was one of my concerns, more so in the morning. We are a commuter town, and that part of town pretty much empties and heads for Ottawa. With a business on either side of this project, it looks like two driveways, one close to Levi's and one in the center that's existing now, would be the exits if they were to use their own property. And that would require turning left, crossing two lanes in order to get on Ottawa Street and head towards March Road. Watching the area, the light set industrial will create a short pause. You have to keep in mind there's a fair bit of traffic also coming into town in peak times in the morning. And there's a fair bit of traffic that are turning left off of Sadler, other people that are coming back out of Tim Hortons or live down Sadler in the Neil Core subdivision. So I do have a concern that it will be quite congested trying to get, I believe it said 174 parking spaces, but even if there's 100 vehicles in the morning heading towards Ottawa and need to turn left, I can't see them going, cutting all through the Tim Hortons parking lot to get to light. That would create another problem. So that would be my comment. My concern would be the extra congestion in an already busy area. Councillor Holmes.
I just have a question about the parking. Will any of the outdoor parking be covered? I understand there's no underground garage rent, but is there any covered parking?
It wasn't my understanding that at this moment they have have included covered parking. Again, it's just a concept plan, so it is subject to change. At site plan, we may see some covered parking, but at this point, I don't think it's part of the plan. But again, it could change.
Mayor Lowry and then Councillor Mayton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I want to just make a couple comments. I think this is a really interesting example of mixed use that we don't see really a lot of, and maybe we don't see enough of. In Mississippi Mills, the walkability of a development like this is really quite interesting. And when we think about the usage of that mall over the last number of years, really since its existence, versus something like this that may be of better suitability to our community, I think it's something that we need to consider. There's always going to be pushback of on often from neighbors on planning matters, but I think it's important that we make our decisions based on planning rationale. There's been great comments around the table, but I would like to hear from you, Maggie, just some comments about process. There's some comments about, you know, the shadowing studies and whatnot, and getting some different information that's been provided. Can you explain to council how the process would work if we were to turn down, a report like this, and the applicant chooses to go to LPAT? Can you explain how that would look?
Yes. So, generally, staff have provided a report that is supportive of the application. The applicants themselves have provided a number of studies in support of the application, including a planning rationale, a traffic impact study, a shadow study, a market study. The traffic study has been peer reviewed by Parsons. So the findings of the Parsons review were pretty minor. Generally, it's understood that the traffic impact statement that was submitted by the applicants is found to be sound, and the findings therein. They have also provided the renderings, as well as a concept plan, as well as a sectional drawing demonstrating the grade changes and how that will look visually on the street, the difference in height. Our staff have been supportive of the application. Should council choose to refuse the application, the developer and the applicant would have appeal rights to appeal the decision of council to the local planning appeals tribunal. In that case, it would be difficult for staff, being myself as the only planner so far in the department, it would be difficult for staff to go in front of the LPAT and present a different findings, in which case it's likely you would have to find a different planner, perhaps a consultant, to represent the application against what staff have recommended. Certainly, I believe the applicants have a fairly strong case. They have provided most of the documentation that has been requested, minus the AM shadow study projection. However, it would be difficult for staff, given that I've already recommended supporting the application. There is a complexity there that would have to be navigated.
Thank you.
Councillor Maiden.
Thank you. Through the chair, I would like to ask the proponent if they are willing to compromise on some of this design to make it less, maybe a little bit less dense. Perhaps put residential units on the commercial units at the front, and maybe make a little square like that. Are they willing to compromise in any way on the design?
Once again, I have this this background noise here that's repeating everything I say. I think I understood the comment to be whether or not we would entertain redesigning the site, and there is some opportunity for that. I would have to discuss that with our client to see how much interest they would have in looking at that. I would say that we do have some residential units that could go in the above the commercial at the front of the building. But in terms of overall unit count, we can take a look at that and see what kind of concessions could be made.
Okay. Councillor Holmes.
To our planner, I just have one more question. What is the process if the nearby residents decide to appeal if we did approve this?
If the residents decide to appeal a decision of council, which would be in favor of the application, they can do so once the bylaw has been passed and a notice has been issued of the passage. Because this has two applications within it, it's an official plan amendment and a zoning bylaw amendment, the municipality will issue the notice of passage for the zoning bylaw amendment, but the official plan amendment will have to go to the county as our approval authority. So I believe the process there, they would have to appeal through the county, although the municipality would still represent the application. And I imagine that the applicants will also be party to the appeal.
Maggie, the traffic impact study, was it did it also include the traffic impact study that we did for the signaling solution at Patterson We did industrial in Ottawa, Patterson in Ottawa, and Martin in Ottawa. Is this the same study that was used in this as well?
The consultant will have to speak to that a little bit further. My understanding is that it isn't. They did do background traffic counts as part of the study, but I don't know how much of our study they took into account when they did this one. But the applicants will be able to speak better to that.
I was just curious to where they got counts and how that plays an impact in moving traffic across those four lanes. Where did they get the data?
When you actually did your traffic counts, what data you used, when that data was collected, were you relying on your own studies or were you relying on studies of provided by the municipality? So our previous studies or your own studies?
I'm sorry, I'm not able to speak to that very directly. I'm not the traffic consultant who prepared the assessment, but I know that they had some discussions, I believe they had some discussions with town staff, and I think I heard earlier in the meeting tonight that the comment was made that it was peer-reviewed, so I'd have to confirm the details of the question before I can answer that decisively.
So Maggie, what I was getting at is if they used our own data from that time period, if I understand correctly, we just used a prism of one day's data?
Unfortunately, I can't speak to that. I don't recall the traffic study that well to be able to provide an answer. But I can double check. Okay. At a later point.
Thank you. Any further questions on this? Councillor Maiden?
If the agent on the telephone could go back to the proponent to see how willing they are to compromise on some of these things and get back to us, maybe can we defer this until that happens? They seem to indicate a willingness to ask, but they need to have the owners say so, I guess.
Okay.
Is that correct?
That would be correct. The consultant can't speak on behalf of the developer. They are going to have a check.
So, through the chair to Councillor Maiden, just to be on the record, the agents on the phone are going to need to discuss the impacts, particularly maybe the financial impacts of any further refinements of their concept plan. If they're going to remove or add units, it's going to change the financial feasibility for the proponents. So the consultants on the line are going to have to relay the information back. So I don't expect an answer to that tonight.
Thank you, CAO Kelly. And I think it would be better for all concerned if there was some kind of give and take, because this is really the first time that council has had a chance to speak to this. We've heard a lot about it from the neighborhood and so forth. So I would prefer to ask the agents to talk to the owners to see if there's a different configuration that would be less intrusive on Honeyburn and maybe spread the residential density, even leaving it the same, around that lot.
So, Councillor Maiden, you want to move that motion? We defer and get more information back?
Yes, please.
Pardon me? Okay. So the motion on the floor...
Yeah, I'm just checking procedure. And so Deputy Mayor Minnelli and Councillor Ferguson were the mover and seconders of the original motion. Are you okay, both of you okay, to defer this, to come back with more information from the client?
Actually, no, I'm not.
Okay. So the motion stands, and we'll vote on the original motion. Is there any more questions or comments on this before we move forward? Mayor Lowry?
I want to kind of just flag a few things here because we could make this really quite difficult on this next vote. Councillor Holmes had asked about appeal rates for residents, please correct if I'm mistaken, but appeal rights, an appeal is only considered on planning rationale. So that's something we need to bear in mind for an appeal. And it's not to say that comments weren't relevant. One of the ones I noticed a lot, and I think we all heard a lot of, was about water. And it's really not a planning matter, but it's something we could help educate the Elmont residents on in other ways, but I think we want to be careful with this next vote. If we turn it down, the proponents have an opportunity to appeal, and I'm not a planner. I can't say that we will lose, but we want to be careful about our next decisions. And I would look to the clerks to provide some direction if we were to turn this down. If this vote is not successful, what are next steps? Does that not end this discussion?
I think Maggie sort of answered it, the applicant does have the right to appeal to the land tribunal, and it puts our staff in a difficult position also. Certainly that's the next step.
Thank you.
Anything further? Councillor Maiden.
And my suggestion was really, I don't know if you recall I think it was 36 Main Street North, the place with the lilac hedge and so forth. They brought a proposal that the council really didn't care much for, and this was the previous council. They asked them politely to, reconsider. With their agreement, they went back, and they came back, and then they were approved because they made some concessions, I guess, on council's concerns. And this is what I was kind of getting at, was something like that process, which I think Mayor Lowry and Councillor Ferguson were a part of that reconsideration. It didn't really get approved the first time, but it did get approved the second time. That's all I'm suggesting. I'm not trying to, do anything other than that.
Okay.
I think it would be better if everyone was happy with this proposal.
Go ahead.
I would just like to add again that what is proposed here is a concept plan. Certainly there are some setbacks, density, residential uses that are proposed as part of the concept plan. This application, based on this concept plan, again, is subject to change based on what the developer decides they want to do when it comes to an actually building out. This application will come back at site plan to council, and council at that point will also be able to approve or request changes at that point as well, is my understanding.
You just give me a minute to talk to the clerk. Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Minnelli?
I defer my motion. I wouldn't add anything onto it, but I could defer the motion till we get some information back to the 3rd of November, or till the first week meeting in November.
Okay.
If that's okay with...
Councilor Ferguson, you okay with that?
I agree with that.
Okay.
It gives us time for some sober second thought. I hate that word, sober, but...
So,
and we've had some good discussion tonight around the table. So.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So all in favor of deferring this motion? And that's carried. And, the date?
November 3rd.
November 3rd. We're not done with you yet, Maggie. I'll just give a minute to the deputy clerk here. Okay, let's move on. F5, 56 John Street, encroachment. Recommended motion to council approve the encroachment request for the lands legally described as part lot 97, plan 6262, Elmont Ward, municipality of Mississippi Mills, municipality known as 56 John Street, and direct staff to prepare the encroachment agreement. Maggie, you want to speak to this?
Yes. So the owners of this property are William Troisch and Donna Sloan Troisch. The owners today are requesting permission for a 1.22 meter or 4 foot porch encroachment within the municipal right of way on John Street. The subject property is located on John Street west of the intersection at John Street and Water Street. The entire property is 269.8 square meters or 2,904 square feet with frontage on John Street of 13.4 meters or 44 feet. It's generally surrounded by low density residential uses, institutional uses, and open space uses, including the Elmont Baptist Church, the Ottawa Valley Rail Trail, and the Elmont Fairgrounds. Presently, the property is occupied by a single detached dwelling, a porch, and a shed. According to MPAC, these structures were constructed in 1910. The front entrance of the dwelling consists of a covered porch that projects into the municipal right-of-way by 1.22 meters, or again, 4 feet. What the owners are seeking to do is to repair the existing porch, to upgrade the infrastructure, and reclad the decking, which will improve the overall safety of the structure and meet the requirements of the Ontario Building Code. A building permit will be required for the proposed works. Under comments from circulation of the application on page 64, I have forgotten in my haste to include the comments from the fire chief and the chief building official, so I'll just read them out now. The fire chief had no comments or concerns, and the chief building official had no objection, and the proposed construction will require a building permit. So essentially why this is required is that the building department can't issue a building permit until an agreement is in place, as it does not meet the applicable law for the building code, because the structure is encroaching on municipal property. The encroachment agreement additionally will require the owner to provide insurance for the structure and indemnifies the municipality from any liabilities associated with the structure.
Thank you. A mover and seconder for this recommended motion, Mayor Lowry. Councilor Ferguson, questions, comments? None said. All in favor of this recommended motion? That's carried. Thank you, Maggie. On to F6, service delivery review responses. There's a recommended motion there, pages 70 to 97. Councilor Ferguson.
Mr. Chair, based on the importance of this particular presentation and the overall impact it's going to have on the municipality moving forward, is it possible to reschedule this at the earliest convenience so we can get through it in more detail? It's going to take time, if my question's alone. So is it possible we could do that? Because it is 9:30, my job will stay as long as it takes, if that's what it needed. I think it's so important that we need some full discussion on this.
So a special meeting just on this?
Just as quick as we could, and I don't know what time frame that would take, but there is so much importance attached to this.
Okay.
For not only ourselves, but for staff, I think it's so important that we have a good discussion on it, but it's going to take some time.
Okay. Do you move that motion?
I do.
And seconder, please. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, discussion on this? CAO Kelly.
Is this a deferral motion? Is that what you're doing?
This is a what, sorry?
Is this a deferral motion?
Yes. Okay. We'd like to set up a special meeting specifically for this.
Okay, so we haven't moved the motion or seconded the motion. Now you want to defer it straight out?
Not for the recommended motion, just the deferred motion.
Okay. So we, just to put it in a little bit of perspective,
okay,
we are intending to come back to council, I believe it's November 23rd for budget. So these components here do have budgetary impacts, and of course that's why you want the consideration, but we will need time to build those into the budget. So if our intention is to be back, remember the last budget meeting, the direction was for staff to go away and work further on refining the budget items. We are going to need some direction on these, whether they are included or not. If it's left until November 23rd, that's going to be hard for the treasurer to deal with. So,
could we do this sooner than later? Deputy Mayor Minnelli?
I think that this warrants maybe a morning meeting or something, that we can have it earlier before the budget discussion comes up. We'll pick what we want to include in the budget, and that's going to take, I think that's going to take a special meeting, and let's do it before the budget so that everybody has time to either take it out or put it in their budget. I think that's... I think that's only fair. It's quite a bit of money. It adds up to $770,000 minus $15,000. So it's if you take everything at $770,000, it's a lot of money.
Any other comments? Councillor Maiden.
I'm kind of ready to discuss it now. I mean, I went through the numbers that were given. And in the recommendation, and kind of identified, okay, is this going to be on the tax bill or is this going to be on modernization? I had a few questions about, you know, the building official being self-funded, that sort of thing, but sort of minor questions. And a question about using the gas tax to pay for the transportation master plan, that sort of thing. I don't know if it really warrants a separate meeting, but maybe. It was in the agenda. I looked through it.
I want a separate meeting.
Councilor Ferguson.
When's the earliest a special meeting could be called to address the CAO's issue with the budgeting process?
Madam Clerk.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think it warrants a special meeting. It's a lot of money to add into a budget and not knowing where we're going to go with it. And what's coming out of the money we got from the government, and what's a one-time cost, and what's a salary cost, and what benefits costs, and there's lots of questions.
Sorry, can I just clarify, so it's on the Tuesday the 27th in the morning? Is that what we had said?
And what would we be looking at a time, 9 o'clock, 8:30?
So I can't do a meeting on that morning unless we do it very early or like at say 10 o'clock or later.
Given the importance of the topic, I don't think that you want to be confined with the time. So, you know, I think you want to make sure that you have sufficient time to discuss it, because it is very important to our organization, right, to make the right decisions.
So what are we going to say for a time then?
So for a time at 10 o'clock.
What time works for you?
Yeah, I can do time.
Okay, so a mover and seconder, defer it to October 27th, 10 a.m. Is that okay with the mover and the seconder? Deputy Mayor Minnelli? Okay.
Yeah, I move it.
Okay, is there any more comments or questions on this? All in favor of this deferral? That's carried. So we're on to G, notice of motion, Councillor Ferguson.
Yes.
Cost sharing agreement, there's a recommended motion.
Whereas Mississippi Mills is.
Microphone's going off here. Councillor Ferguson's motion, the cost sharing agreement, the recommended motion, whereas Mississippi Mills has received correspondence from Carlton Place Mayor Doug Black, verbal discussion with Beckwith Reeve, Richard Kidd. Significant residential feedback, library board comments, and a formal presentation from Howard Allen, all relating to the proposed terminate of the cost-sharing agreement between Mississippi Mills, Carlton Place, and Beckwith. Therefore, be it resolved that the council direct a Mississippi Mills staff and select members of council to initiate dialogue with their municipal partners, Carlton Place, Beckwith, with input from the Recreation Cost-Sharing Committee in order to conduct a review of the cost-sharing agreement along with the negotiated amendments. You move this motion? You move this motion?
Yes, I do. This is a long-standing shared agreement with three municipalities, prepared in good faith many years ago. It met the test of time and identified need. However, it has continued with minimal scrutiny and review of change affected by new policies and growth. In view of the expressed concerns, my notice of motion recommends that the need for a full review and dialogue by our municipal partners with input from the Recreation Cost Sharing Committee based on process, trust, and opportunity to address possible reconfiguration and costing. Without consultation and ramifications could outweigh the cure.
Okay, can I get a seconder for Councillor Ferguson's motion?
I'll second that
motion. Deputy Mayor Minnelli. So comments, Councillor Holmes.
I'd like to put a friendly amendment to that motion, that before that meeting occurs, we go into camera to provide instruction to those members of council who will be meeting with Carlton Place and Beckwith.
Okay. So our clerk has put up wording for this friendly amendment. And that furthermore, an in-camera item be included on the November 3rd council meeting to provide direction on the recreation cost sharing meeting to be scheduled with our municipal partners, Carlton Place and Beckwith. So the mover and seconder, are you okay with this friendly amendment? Deputy Mayor Minnelli? You okay with this friendly amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Further, okay. Okay. Further questions or comments on this, including the friendly amendment? Councillor Dryden.
Yes, actually, I'm a little bit concerned because based on the history that we received with regards to the Howard Allen presentation, my understanding is that previous council actually attempted this exact same thing three times. I'm just curious why we would go there when we could actually have them come here and we could have the discussion when we actually were able to speak as a group instead of sending someone over and then getting the interpretation of what they have to say.
Okay. Mayor Lowry.
I think there might be some misunderstandings of what's happened in the past. I don't have the full history in front of me right now, but when I was looking through the file, it was actually when Councillor Dalgety's father was chairing some of these meetings that one of those meetings had occurred, and in the minutes it indicates that everybody, after having had the presentation by Howard Allen, were fine with the agreement staying in place. I think that was in 2011. So I'm not sure that it's entirely accurate to depict that we've done exactly this and had not a result that we're wishing to have. And I can say that this isn't the process that was taken last term either. So I think it's an incorrect statement to say that we're repeating history. That's not accurate.
Thank you. Further questions, comments, Councillor Maiden?
Yeah, I have no objection to discussing this with Carlton Place and Beckwith. It kind of ties into my motion about doing a review and in discussions with Councillor Ferguson, for example. We agreed that we, in his words, need to review the blank out of it, and it doesn't really include the review. My motion does include the review. So if we kind of consider that maybe part of the same thing, or should we combine them? Not really sure. I tried to address that in my motion, but I do agree with Councillor Holmes that we need to kind of meet in camera about this issue before we meet with the cost-sharing partners.
Thank you. Anything further? Okay, all in favor of this motion, including the friendly amendment that I read earlier, it's up on the screen. All in favor? That's carried. We're on to G2, Councillor Maiden's motion, cost sharing agreement, calculations and review with the recommended motion there. Councillor Maiden, do you wish to speak to your motion?
Yes, thank you. And I hope you will, I know it's late, but I hope you'll indulge me for maybe 5 minutes. I just wanted to express appreciation for so many services in Carlton Place. Residents of Ramsey and Elmont are daily supporters of their businesses, groceries, restaurants, automotive, health, legal, and other services. We cheer on the Carlton Place Canadians and the CP Dragons, we just heard from tonight. Examining the cost-sharing agreement is really about our duty to our residents to assure them that services in their municipality is our first priority. Cost-sharing by Ramsey residents began long before the Howard Allen agreement. They had a cost-sharing fund that they alone decided upon. And in this case, I'm speaking to the first two motions, really. In the early days, Ramsey directed about one-third of that fund to Carlton Place and two-thirds to Elmont. That later changed to about 50-50 to include the pool, which opened in May of 1983. In 1983, the Elmont Gazette reported that Ramsey Council's grant fund for the use of both libraries in Elmont and Carlton Place totaled $7,350. They decided they could not increase it that year. The Bank of Canada inflation calculator tells us that $7,350 in today's dollars is $17,154. How did we go from $7,350 for two libraries in 1983 to a 2021 request for $61,775 just for the Carlton Place Library? So I wanted to make a few points about the cost-sharing agreement. The library kind of alluded to the fact that the simple logical basis for a cost sharing among municipalities is so that a municipality without a service pays another that has the service and provides for their residents. There are elementary questions about council's authority and oversight on these expenditures and our duty to all taxpayers, and I think Howard Allen acknowledged that when he was here. This agreement has no cap on cost demands, no requirement to have council review or ratify amounts, no redress mechanism, and no end dates. There are other legal questions about it. There's been much volatility in the charges that are not supported by usage or cost increases or explained each year. Howard Allen told us that total costs have increased just, quote, slightly more than 2.5% per annum from 2012. However, the percentage increases for 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020 have averaged 9.4%, while the inflation percentage changes for the same period averaged 1.8%. The last increase was 12% overall. The 3% increase shown in the proposed 2021 budget is an estimate from our treasurer, not from the formula. The result is that we've been underwriting services in another municipality that we actually provide to our residents. We pay them about $60,000 for their library, while we pay 100% of the cost for our two library branches. We pay them another $60,000 for their arena and recreation, while we maintain two arenas, various sports fields, and cultural venues at 100%. What effect does that have? Well, it makes Carlton Place more attractive because they can invest in their facilities and programs at the expense of other taxpayers. The recent service delivery review noted that Carlton Place has nearly three times the number of recreation staff that we have. We have 25, they have 72. They can use our money to enhance their facilities and programs. We are scrambling to pay for ours and theirs. If we had kept that money, our services would benefit, and that maybe the debt on the Pakenham Library might not exist. A point about usage. Taking the current subsidy to the Carlton Place Library of about $60,000, let's divide that by all 1,500 people in South Ramsey. We pay Carlton Place about $40 per person, user or not. Looking at usage, Carlton Place has informed us that there were 635 active Mississippi Mills users over the last 2 years. As far as users go, that works out to about $90 per user. The Carlton Place Library only charges non-residents, like people in Ottawa or Ashton or Perth, $30. And they only began charging that in January of 2019, according to their website. Ironically, the $17,134 I mentioned earlier, Ramsey's 1983 fund with inflation, would now work out to $30 per user. This is incredible value to the taxpayer of what municipality, I wonder. Dependency issues. At the August 25th Carlton Place Committee of the Whole meeting, the report on possible recreation deficits due to COVID, the Recreation Committee proposed options to council. The first option was council could consider approaching the recreation cost-sharing partners for additional funding based on actuals this year. Historically, and as per the cost-sharing agreement, partner shares are based on the amount we budget each year. This is different than the agreement we have in place to fund a portion of Beckwith's assets, which is based on actuals. Later on the same page, it was reported that Carlton Place will receive provincial COVID-related funding of $284,900 based on the number of their households. The 1987 agreement was only formally reviewed once by its author in 2000-2001. Around the same time, the Mississippi Mills Recreation and Culture Operational Review by Robinson & Associates with Lashley & Associates recommended scrapping the agreement, pointing out these inequities and predicting the cost to our own facilities and staff. Attempts to review the agreement in 2016 were later abandoned after some discussion among members of the cost-sharing committee. This, of course, brings me back to the question of where this council's authority for spending and oversight lies. Now, my first two motions call for a thorough review of the formula and effects, and I think Councillor Ferguson mentioned that as well, by an independent examiner, legal advice, and a study by staff of the costs and benefits of continuing to contribute to the pool. And I think the pool is the one thing that really fits the whole premise behind cost sharing. And I think from what I've read in the old Elmont Gazettes, and I went through them pretty exhaustively, Elmont and Ramsey contributed a lot to the cost of those pools. Given this, those two motions, I am willing to defer my third and fourth motions until the reports on this are in. After we've had the discussion, I think we need an independent review, and we may want to change our motions again later on. It's important that we deal in facts and make our decisions based on those and on the evidence of the effects. In summary, I want to say something about being neighborly and paraphrase President Franklin Roosevelt. Being neighborly is lending your garden hose and water to your neighbor when his house is on fire. And I would add to that, it's not paying his mortgage. And I think that's all I really wanted to speak to the first two. And with council's agreement, I would defer the other ones until the results of all this is in. I think that's reasonable. Thank you.
Okay, we'll address this first one now. You move this motion G2, the one you just spoke to. Yep.
Yes, I do.
So I need a seconder for this G2 motion. Councillor Holmes, comments and or questions? Councillor Dryard?
Yes, actually, I guess my concern is, though the mayor has said that it didn't happen the way that staff has informed us, what I looked at, what we received on the 22nd, it actually said that council passed a motion, a bylaw, 260-15, to authorize the mayor and the CAO to negotiate a fair and reciprocal cost-sharing agreement. My personal feeling is this is actually costing every single resident in Mississippi Mills basically one mill rate or 1% of our overall taxes. If we are going to talk about this, if we're going to do something about this, I think I disagree with the mayor. I think the previous staff have actually brought this up. I think maybe what we should do is request that the money that would normally be allocated to go to the cost sharing be held in reserves until we've had an opportunity to actually investigate this a little bit further.
I believe that this has been going on for many, many years, and it's been probably talked about 1,000 times, and there's no way any of us here could really go back. Perhaps Councillor Ferguson would have the best shot of anybody and seeing exactly how things went over the years. And I know for a fact, as Mayor Lowry mentioned, my father years and years ago was discussing this as well. So it would be complex to pick and choose particular instances of what happened when.
That's fine. I still feel, as it was mentioned in the Millstone by the letter in response to Councillor Maiden making this suggestion on the 25th, this does affect every single resident in Mississippi Mills. This is not a levy.
that is charged on just the residents of South Ramsey. They feel it's a promise. I understand that it was a promise, but I don't think there's a true understanding across the whole community as to how this actually affects us. I think the joint program, the Howard Allen Agreement, and it's not a levy, it's not a bylaw, it's an agreement. It's actually, right, I think this year it's over $148,000.
Sorry, point of order. Are we discussing a motion that's on the floor? I mean, it's almost 10 o'clock. I think it's been moved. I'm not sure if it's been seconded. Are you speaking to the motion? Is this what's happening, Mr. Chair?
We were kind of back and forth on it, but we are trailing away from it right now. Just clarification, we did get a seconder. Councillor Holmes. Okay. We stick to this particular motion.
Okay, so can we ask or can we add this as a friendly amendment? If I don't understand how that works, but could we ask that the money is actually held in reserves and not sent without having this decided by council?
Just going to check for procedure. Mm-hmm. So previous CAO Kelly?
Just a point. You're talking about reallocating budget, and I just heard some of the discussion that was going on. That's going to have to be an open council, a decision to reallocate budget. But you have voted the budget for this year, and this was not an item to hold the money in reserve. So if you're going to reallocate funds from operating budget now being put into reserves, just for the councillor's benefit, the money for funding this arrangement, I believe, has already been supplied to Carlton Place. So when you're talking about putting something in reserve, we would have to do some work to determine if all of the money has already been supplied to Carlton Place as per this agreement.
So for clarification, we've already agreed to have an in-camera meeting discussion. That particular thing cannot be discussed in camera.
I'll stand to be corrected, but I don't think you can allocate budget in camera in that regard. You're going to have to do it either through a rise and report, okay, but you cannot allocate funds like that in camera. I don't believe, I stand to be corrected by the clerk, but
Next year's budget.
Can you turn your microphone on, please?
Sorry, I'm not used to the microphone. So no funds have been allocated to Carlton Place yet. Okay, because we're talking about the 2021 budget. Okay, just a point of clarification. So the request for 2020 funds have been allocated. Yeah. But 2021 funds have not been allocated to Carlton Place.
I apologize. I guess that was what I assumed. If we were talking about it, it would be for the 2021 budget.
So just for a clarification, we have a motion on the floor that's been moved by Councillor Maiden and seconded by Councillor Holmes. So that's the motion on the floor. So we're... And sorry, Councillor Maiden, were you looking at to defer the motion?
No, I was saying that if my first one for the review of the calculation and the second one, which is for review of the issues around the pool, were passed, I would like to defer the next two, the G4 and the I think G5. And that's the cost-sharing agreement for the library and so forth, until we get all of those in. And even with this one, given the discussion and the in-camera meeting with Councillor Ferguson's motion, I would maybe change the last paragraph to engage an independent party to review the agreement and a lawyer to give us legal advice, because you only need a lawyer just for the legal advice. As far as the review of agreement, you want someone independent. So sorry about that, but and so instead of a an independent lawyer, an independent and lawyer.
So I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, so council directs staff to engage a third party review, a third party to review the agreement,
yeah.
And
legal advice.
And engage an independent lawyer for legal advice.
Right.
So we would have the third party put together all the results and have the lawyer look at it and give us legal advice. So,
yeah.
So basically, the third party would do all the grunt work.
Yeah.
Sorry for the questions. I just don't understand. I'm coming in the middle. So the third party would do all the grunt work and to try and help reduce our cost. And
right.
And the lawyer, give that information to the lawyer, and the lawyer would give us a legal opinion.
Right, because there are legal issues around this. I think you need legal advice on some of it.
Yeah.
But the other, like gathering the facts and stuff, I mean, we probably gathered most of the facts already. But so to have a thorough review, which is what Councillor Ferguson wants, I believe, you know, we need an independent fact finder of some kind, and even an independent lawyer, because our lawyer, I think, serves all the municipalities together, and we kind of need someone from outside to come in. That's my view.
Okay, CAO Kelly. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, I know you had your hand up.
Yes.
CAO Kelly's going to go first here.
Just an attempt maybe to try and streamline a little bit. Would it be possible to split that paragraph such that it's two sentences, one dealing with your independent third party and a second paragraph that dealt with your lawyer? Because I think it's just there's too many factors in there that you're trying to accomplish with the one sentence.
Sure.
Not being an English major, but just maybe we could split it. The other thing is, I guess just for the benefit, if that is a consulting engagement and that's going to be fairly substantial, there needs to be budget room for that. And is it going to be something that we put to an RFP? And I'm wondering if you have any opinions or discussion on timing for this, because I do believe it's not going to be a weekend's work for somebody. I think it's going to take a little bit of time. And I do believe we are going to have to provide notice to Carlton Place if you are looking to withhold money.
So I'm just going to backtrack here now. So you've changed your original motion and Councillor Holmes has seconded it. Are you okay with the change? And before Deputy Mayor Minnelli speaks, Councillor Girard has added a friendly amendment. And I'm just going to check with the clerk for procedure so I don't mess this up. So please bear with me for a minute. It's a little complex.
So we're going to get the motion up on the screen. The original motion is on there now.
No, we passed a meeting. The motion reads, Councillor, can you read Councillor Ferguson's motion, please, for me? Where is
I'm going to take this off just so I've been sitting here so long. Clearer. The motion reads, Councillor Ferguson, seconded by Deputy Mayor Minnelli, whereas Mississippi Mills has received correspondence from Carlton Place Mayor Doug Black, verbal discussion with Beckwith Reeve Richard Kidd, significant residential feedback, library board comments, and a formal presentation from Howard Allen, all relating to the proposed terminate of the cost-sharing agreement between Mississippi Mills, Carlton Place, and Beckwith. Therefore, be it resolved that Council direct and Mississippi Mills staff and selected members of Council to initiate dialogue with our municipal partners, Carlton Place, Beckwith, with input from the Recreation Cost-Sharing Committee in order to conduct a review of the cost-sharing agreement along with any negotiated amendments and the amendment, and furthermore, that an in-camera item be included on the November 3rd council meeting to provide direction on the recreation cost-sharing agreement meeting to be scheduled with our municipal partners, Carlton Place and Beckwith.
So, can I have the floor? So, seeing we passed that motion, I think all these other motions are redundant. So we have the conversation with Beckwith. And just for my fellow councillors around the table, we're not negotiating with Russia, eh? We're negotiating with our friends, our neighbors, and the people that live in Lanark County. So any unfriendly talk in the motion, I'm not going to be in favor of. I'm not in favor of unfriendly motions. Thank you.
I can, if council permits, I can speak just yes. to provide a little bit of guidance and I guess use my background. You know, it's really important to sit down and have this meeting with council on November 3rd to get direction on where you want to go with this recreational cost sharing agreement. You know, I think that's step one. Out of the meeting, you know, your representatives who are meeting with Beckwith and Carlton Place will have their mandate and be able to report back to this council. You know, we might want to talk about a time frame of the meeting, you know, and give the whoever is on the negotiating committee sort of terms and say, you know what, maybe collectively and maybe Carlton Place and Beckwith might even be willing to enter and do a third party review. You never know, so and maybe pay for some of the costs too. So you want to try and keep all of your cards open. Let's have a friendly discussion with them, have our terms of reference, and you know, have a meeting, and maybe collectively between the three municipalities, you know, certainly yes, the agreement is very old. It's been revisited, and it's been talked about. Times are changing, and you know, this is a good, very good opportunity for all three municipalities to sit down and have a good constructive conversation and come with a good solution. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Councillor Maiden, after everything said here, a lot of what I'm seeing kind of falls into direction. Would you be okay with if your two motions kind of run in alignment with Councillor Ferguson's? We're going to have an in-camera. We're going to come up with direction. We're going to come up with a plan. Yes, there is some things here that may require budget that would have to come out of camera to agree on, correct? And the second motion as well is basically direction. Are you okay if we cover all this stuff in the in-camera meeting?
I think some of the things that we need to discuss around this need to be out of, you know, in public. Because I think from what I've discovered is the public really doesn't know a heck of a lot about this. You know, there's a lot of misconceptions. A lot of people thought, oh, only South Ramsey residents pay for this. That's not true. I think as much as we can, we need to have the discussion in public, not maybe in private with the municipalities. It's fine to meet with them and discuss it, let them know what our concerns are. My main concerns are paying for another municipality's services which we provide. And that's basically as simple as that. Because what it's doing is it's hurting our facilities, it's hurting the number of staff that we can afford, the number of programs we can provide, because we're really paying 120%. 100% to our stuff, 20% to their stuff. And I think that needs to change. I think we need to have the discussion, as Councillor Ferguson said. Councillor Girard did have a point that when it was, you know, people, the last council went to the cost-sharing meeting, they sort of abrogated their responsibility and their authority to a cost-sharing committee to say, oh, no, well, we're happy with it. We're not going to change it. They did not listen. And I think we need to kind of operate from a position of strength and saying, what don't we like about it? What is costing us it? Actually, do we not want to support our own services? Like I say, the pool is the ideal thing to support in a cost-sharing agreement. Supporting a third library and a third arena? I don't think so. So to kind of wrap it up, I really would like us to decide to have a third-party review, and maybe I can defer this till after that discussion happens, if everyone's in agreement with that. But I think we need to look at the pool and we need to look at it differently. Presentation we had tonight kind of gave me some new ideas as well.
The second version of her motion then, and we have the friendly amendment from Councillor Girard. So I need the mover and seconder to agree with the friendly amendment, correct?
Correct, and I'm also hearing you want to defer this too?
Yes, I've been railroaded into it, yes.
Roshni, what you want, which...
I don't know.
we can include these directions that you've stated in these two motions in our in-camera discussion.
Okay.
If you're okay with that.
Nope.
Okay.
The motion, it said that we were going to give direction to whoever it is that's having the discussion with the other two parties. It wasn't about going in and talking about a lawyer and things like that. Like, we've got to be really careful that what we say we're going in camera for is what we go in camera for. That's outside, in my perspective, and again, I look to be corrected if I'm out of order on this, but when we go in camera on something, it has to be very specific. It can't broaden out.
Yeah, it needs to be negotiations, right, and legal concerns, right? Those fall under in camera. The rest of it, I think, like as I said before, let's discuss it out of camera. So let's defer this one until after this happens, okay? I should be specific to defer it until after we've had the in-camera meeting.
Yes.
And after we've had the discussion, and then depending on the results of that, we may want to go here.
Yes.
That sound good?
Okay. Councillor Holmes, did you have a comment?
I guess to clarify from Councillor Maiden, you're wishing to defer G2, 3, 4 and 5? Is that what I'm hearing? Thank you.
Maybe just a point of clarification is to make sure the discussion. Deferral of a motion is, I believe, under the procedure bylaw to the next immediate meeting. So your next meeting, which would be October 27th, as we had discussed earlier, or to a meeting that you put a date to.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have, I think in your deferral here, that's what I'm getting to, is you need to provide some direction in terms of when you want it, in terms of a date, I believe. So do we pick a date of,
I think. Pastor Maine did that.
Yeah.
She deferred it to after the November 3rd meeting and after the meeting with the municipal partners. So whatever, once we have a date, so it will come to the next agenda.
I believe the procedure bylaw says date, but.
I think it allows for, it's not a specific date, but you have to have it tied to an action or something like that. So I can't say when the meeting with Carlton Place is going to happen, so it would be after that date. But assuming that it's going to happen because we passed Councillor Ferguson's motion.
Okay, so for the deferral, the seconder was Councillor Holmes, and you're okay with that? Okay. Mayor Lowry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just want to say I think it's really a good decision by this council to decide to defer, you know, further discussions about this until we have had that opportunity to meet with Carlton Place and Beckwith. I mean, if we're looking for them to come to the table in good faith, we need to do the same. And I don't think that these are, I think these are out of order just right now. Like we need to do the first steps, and if we're not successful, then maybe there's a place for some of these directions. And, you know, in my view, Deputy Mayor Benelli and I sit at the table with the county, with these partners. Like we work on things every month with these partners, and it's important that we do things in a way that doesn't damage the relationship. It doesn't damage our relationship in, you know, maybe getting what we want out of this, but it ends up hurting us in some other way. So I think it's really important that we, in good faith ourselves, go to that meeting with Carlton Place and Beckwith. And we let them understand what our concerns are, and I would be surprised if there are not is not a willingness to look at some of those concerns. On the other hand, if we were to engage a third party and start our own review and have legal involved, we're then not coming to the table in the same kind of honest way that we're wanting them to. So I do hope that council supports deferring these at this time, as I think the steps right now, as our acting clerk had indicated, is to have conversations and to start at that point. So all to say, I'm speaking in support of the deferrals. Thank you.
Mayor Lowry, I'm just going to speak to the point of order about the in-camera meeting and what I was referring to as part of the direction, her items on those two motions. That's what I was intending. So we're going to talk about direction. We're going to talk about
Direction doesn't include like lawyers and things like that, right?
We didn't specify what direction.
Provide direction on the recreation cost sharing meeting. So I mean, for us to decide then that we're going to have a third party come in and review it. That's outside of directing whoever it is having the conversations with Carlton Place and Beckwith. Right? Like it's pretty narrow. The direction is about that meeting with our municipal partners.
Okay. That's the way I was taking it. That's why I brought that up. Okay, so G2, we're on a G3, and so right. Back to G2, sorry. So we're going to, any more discussion on this? G2. And all in favor of the deferral? That's carried. Thank you. So G3, Councilor Maiden? Same thing?
Yeah. 4 and 5.
I have to do them individually, right? So G3, seconder, please. Councilor Holmes. This motion be deferred. Any comments on deferral of G3? All in favor of G3? That's carried. G4, Councilor Maiden, you've already stated deferral. Seconder, Councilor Holmes. Any discussion on G4 deferral? All in favor? That's carried. G5, Councilor Maiden, deferral. Second, please. Councilor Holmes, questions on G5? All in favor for the deferral? Carried. Information items. No mayor's report this evening. Association of Municipalities of Ontario report, page 98 and 99. Mayor Lowry.
I think I spoke to the highlights of this at our last meeting, so if there isn't any other questions, or if there aren't questions to it, I'll, I don't know if I need to move that. I think it's just information.
Just questions. Yeah. Questions, comments, Councillor Maiden?
The mayor reported on the over-application of salt at the AMO meeting. There was a discussion about that, and I'm wondering if this could maybe be a sort of staff action for Public Works to report back to us on anything that they're doing to mitigate the over-application of salt, just because of the high sodium levels in our water. And I'm wondering if Public Works is aware of this and any action they're taking to use other materials rather than salt or sand, perhaps.
Anything further? Rural Ontario Municipal Association report, page 100 and 101. Mayor Lowry's.
So same thing. I did speak last meeting to sort of the highlights on it, that the Robo conference is going ahead. It'll be virtual and it'll be a condensed conference of just 2 days. And I did, I think, mention the resource guide on broadband activity, connectivity, excuse me. So there's a little bit more information about what that might look like, along with the Red Brick communication plan. I noticed in my inbox that I got the draft version of the resource guide, so I think we'll likely see it fairly soon. I know that they're aiming for middle of November, so I think that'll probably be very helpful for us. But if there's not any questions.
Okay, any questions? On to County Councilor's report. We don't have one.
It's passed at the last meeting, so the next meeting, everything that came up on budget meetings will be in there. That's why there's no report.
Thank you.
Okay.
MVCA, no report this evening. Information list. Mover and seconder for the information list. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson. Page 102. Anything pulled out of this information list? Councillor Holmes?
Maybe item number 11.
Number 11. Just give everybody a couple more seconds here to go through it. I guess that's it. All in favor to receive the information list? Carried. A meeting calendar on page 184. Additions or edits? Don't see any hands up. Moving on to other new business. Anything? Pending list is next, page 186. Questions or comments on the pending list? Nothing there. Mover and seconder for adjournment, please. Councilor Ferguson, Mayor Lowry, all in favor? That's carried at 10:25. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for your patience this evening.